Get up here. You know, he's family. I can say that, right? So, Dan and I go back a few years, 30, something like that, close to, right? And Dan and Bethany have been in Tanzania for about 28 years, 27, something like that. It was soon after we were married.
Yes.
Right? And, 91. So we were married in 90. But it's been a blessing to be part of this family. It's been a blessing to, over the years, kind of reconnect with Dan and Bethany as they come home on home assignment and see the excitement as God is doing things in their lives and the lives of kids that they're working with. And so I mentioned last week, Chuck was scheduled to preach for me, and then, of course, his surgery happened, and then Gary Evans was going to pinch hit for me, and then my wife is talking to Dan, Bethany, I think, volunteered him on Monday, and it's like, you know, well, Dan's got a sermon he can give. It's like, oh. So I called Gary, and Gary wasn't too far along in his sermon, so I was like, okay, let's shift gears. So, but it's great to hear from Dan, and Dan, we look forward to what the Lord has laid on your heart, brother.
Thank you. So I think I have this turned on. Can you hear me?
Good.
I don't have to stand still now while I'm preaching. Well, as Pastor mentioned, we are family. I'd just like to introduce my wife, Bethany. She grew up in Frenchtown, just up the way here. And our youngest, Reuben, who didn't stand. There he is. we have five children. And as the years go by, we're down to one at home. And we just praise God for being with our family. As Pastor mentioned, we are missionaries with Africa Inland Mission working in Tanzania. And we now currently work at an orphanage called Mavuno Village. And we have a display. If you'd like to learn more about that ministry and partner with us in prayer, feel free to sign up. There's a sheet there to sign up. Give us your email address if you still are, like me, not so computer savvy, and you want a snail mail update, we can do that as well. Give us your physical address, and we'll keep you better informed so you can pray more effectively. And today, I'd just like to share with you a little bit about the vision of Mavuno Village, the orphanage, and it actually applies to each of us as well and to me. So, as I speak to you, I'm like you say, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm also preaching to myself. Mavuno Village is an orphanage. We get our kids through the government, and our vision is to take these children and to enable them to become godly, productive Tanzanians. And that's what we want to be able to do with these kids. And we want to do it through families. So we spend a lot of time parenting, encouraging the caregivers that raise the Tanzanian kids to be more active in mentoring, in developing the character of the kids that God has entrusted in their hands in the short time. And so with that vision, to enable them to become godly, productive Tanzanians, there's two parts there. The productive part is pretty straightforward and obvious. And that applies to even us, even my own biological kids. God wants us to be productive, to not be idle. I looked up some time ago about what the Bible does say about being lazy, and actually, it's some pretty strong words there. Of course, in 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 15, there are a lot of instructions. Even if you're widowed and you're still young, you should get married or get to work. In fact, in verse 10, he says, and this is a rule of thumb, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And if you go to 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, Paul is instructing Timothy, and he says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially his immediate family, he's denied the faith, and is worse than an unbeliever. Those are some pretty strong words. I don't think he's saying you're going to lose your salvation, but if you can't provide, you you've kind of become like the unbelievers. And so we want to train these children that God puts in our hands in Tanzania to become productive. And so there's a lot involved in that, in enabling them to plug back into society and know how to go out and either create a job for themselves or get a job. And so, and again, we do that through the parents, and then we do that through modeling. So we provide a job for the parents so they can model, and then they have to work with a budget, learn how to balance the books at the end of the month and things like that. And that's part of what we want to do with the kids. And again, even in my own life, God wants me not to be idle, but to be hardworking. And Paul was certainly an example of that. Even on his missionary travels, he was a hard worker. But more importantly than that, we want them to come to know Christ as their personal Savior and to become disciples of Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 4, Jesus was traveling, and he actually went out of his way to go by Samaria and ended up at a well and was speaking to a Samaritan lady who culturally he shouldn't have been talking to, and was talking to her about living waters, and told her that if she knew who she was talking to, she would ask him for living waters. And then when his disciples returned, he said to his disciples in 4:35, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Jesus used that word harvest, and that is the word for mavuno. Mavuno is the Swahili word for harvest. And our main vision is to harvest these kids, bring them into the kingdom. And not only to bring them into the kingdom, but to enable them to become disciples of Jesus Christ. We want them to grow and to become disciples so that when they are adults, they can go out and continue to be an influence for the kingdom in Tanzania. And we key on discipleship. We want them to have an accurate understanding of the plan of salvation. And God in Romans verses in chapter 3:9-20, we are very clearly told that all have sinned. No one has sought after God. We have all turned to our own way. We're all lawbreakers. And God in his infinite love and knowledge had a plan to redeem us. And I remember witnessing to someone in Tanzania, and I like to tell stories, and I had this story and an analogy, and I was walking through where this kid broke a law, got in trouble, was given a fine that he couldn't pay, and he goes, oh, I'll just bribe him. In a country that's so prevalent. But you know, I think sometimes we think that way ourselves. We really do, and we want our kids at Mavuno, I want my own kids, myself, to have an accurate understanding of salvation, how God redeemed us without breaking his own law. We have a saying in Tanzania, it's kitu kidogo, something small. And it's a joke in almost every situation, you know, is, oh, that doesn't work, just ask for kitu kidogo, something small. In the States, you call it bribery. Out there, we call it kitu kidogo. You can't just, you know, kitu kidogo and temporarily have the law change so that you know, just momentarily change the law and then you go on your way. Jesus in Matthew 5:17 said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And we want to be accurate in giving the kids the gospel and so that they can truly and accurately understand grace. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read, God made him who had no sin to become sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There's a lot packed in that verse. I'm probably not even equipped to completely unpack that. But God, from the beginning, for the foundation of the earth, had a plan to redeem us without breaking his own rules. And that's love. In Romans 5:8, he says, God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And as we go into the Christmas season, you'll be studying more and more about that and what God did in sending his son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us without changing or breaking his rules, which is the first thing that a Tanzanian is going to think of. Oh, well, I just get to know him and make friends with him. And he'll temporarily change the law. You know, in Tanzania, the law is negotiable. But we want our kids to have an accurate understanding of salvation and to enable them to be able to teach others. And so I would like to just in wrapping up, to go to 2 Peter. I love the book of 2 Peter. There's a lot in there, and I'm not going to read through the whole book of 2 Peter, but I do want us to skim through it and pick out some different things. And this is our vision for our kids that God's given us in Tanzania. It's for my own life. It applies to each of us today. And just in starting, we read there in the first verse, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. And again, it's through God's righteousness, not ours, that we get to heaven. And this book is written to us. And just skimming through, in verse 3, read, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who calls us by his own glory and goodness. Wow, that's pretty great. If someone came up and said, here's a box, here's everything you need for life, you go, wow, my problems are over. That's pretty cool. But actually, it's right here. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness, and it's through his divine power, and we get that through knowledge of him. In Mavuno Village, we really encourage our kids to cherish the Word of God, to get into the Word of God on a daily basis, and to know, learn more and more about him. And then he continues, just skipping down verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Here, he's encouraging us to add to our faith. And Paul wants, when he gets to heaven, wants God to be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's what I would also like when I get there and when my kids get there. It's not just to sneak in, have Jesus say, whoa, you made it. Well, okay, go ahead, come on in. But to say, well done, good and faithful service. And that's our desire for my own life, for each of us, is to live a godly life. And so to our salvation, we need to add these things. And if you think about them, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness. Those are pretty basic. Just be kind to your brother, and love. And then it continues to say, if you have these things, you'll succeed. And then skipping down to verse 11, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're all here, and we're going to leave this tent someday. I don't think there's anyone who is going to live forever. And so we need to. This is life, is living a godly life, using the power that's given to us through the knowledge of him for everything that we need for life and godliness all the way till we get to heaven and we have a rich welcome. I've gone to different meetings or different parties where you walk into the room and you're like, there's an elephant in a room and there's no rich welcome. I don't know if many of you have had that situation, but our hope when we get to heaven, when our kids at Movuno get to heaven, there's a rich welcome for them because they've been living a godly life. Then we go on, verses 12 through 15, and this is, I just love these verses. This is my definition of parenting. Let me just read them. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as the Lord Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. In parenting, we teach our kids and we repeat and we repeat and repeat for 18 years in hopes that when they're no longer with us, they'll remember what we taught them. You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from him. Here he repeats it three times. And he's like, I want to remind you of something that you already know and in fact you're doing. But I still think it's right that I refresh your memory. And I want to do it so much that when I'm no longer around, you won't ever forget it. And that's our goal as parents, is to instill in our kids' lives a love for God's word so that when we're no longer around them, for my own kids, that they will stick to God's word. I think back when the Israelites went through the desert, every time they came to a hurdle, they grumbled. And if you look up the word forget, it always is with grumbling. I don't know why. But we grumble because we forget what God has done. And it says, you know, they forgot the marvelous wonders that God did and they grumbled. They felt, you know, God couldn't provide them food. They couldn't provide them meat. He couldn't provide them water. I don't think they forgot walking through the Dead Sea. You know, if you walk through, this is an ocean and you walked on dry ground and you're looking at a wall, they didn't forget, but yet we do forget. We know that God died on the cross for our sins and he redeemed us through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But yet, every day we forget that because we don't apply it to our daily lives. We get so wrapped up in the current problem and in ourself that we do forget. So I think there's two forgets here, because the Bible, all the way through the 40 years in the desert, you know, it says, oh, they forgot and they grumbled. They did, because they didn't apply it to the new problem that faced them and said, you know, God did that. I know he can do this. But that's what God really wants us to be able to do. And even in our own lives, and even when we're sharing to orphan children in Tanzania who haven't had a really posh life, and you can say God's blessed you with this and this and this, but there is a lot of things that we can teach them, that God died on the cross for their sins. And if we can continually remind them of that, it'll change how we live day to day. So he's saying here, I want to remind you of things that you know and are already practicing. That's what the Israelites needed when they walked through the desert, because they remember walking through the Dead Sea, but yet they forgot when they had a new problem or were hungry or didn't have meat or didn't have water, and they started grumbling. But if we can parent our kids, if we can, here in Lolo, in the United States, be as vigilant as reminding, here he says, I will make every effort to see that I'm paraphrasing here, when I'm gone, when I'm dead and gone, you will remember. And this is the third time he's reminded us, he's used that word. We could apply that to our own lives. I think our own church community, we'd be a different community if we were more vigilant in reminding each other of God's wonderful truths. In our struggles that the Bible says the devil is roaming around like a roaring lion, trying to devour who he can. We need to support each other. We're designed to live in Christian community. And my encouragement to myself, to my own kids, and to the kids that we have there in Tanzania is, let's be reminders. Let's remind each other, even of things that we know. We haven't really forgot, but we have forgot because we're not applying them to the incidences that we come across every day. It will enable us to battle the arrows that the devil shoots at us. And then, of course, he continues to verify the authenticity of the scriptures and some other teachings. And just skip over to chapter 3 with me. It's one of my favorite chapters, if you could have a favorite chapter in the Bible. He says, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." Here again, he says, this is a reminder. I just don't think we remind each other enough of what God's done for us and what he's promised to do. And then without spending a huge amount of time going through that, he just goes back and says, remember, this world was created by God's word. Then it was flooded by God's word. And that very same word has promised the destruction of evil and reserved this world for fire. And then goes on to say, but some people will come along and say, ah, where's your God? You know, everything goes on as normal. For the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as a day. I'm just paraphrasing. And then verse 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear children. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So he continues to say, do not forget. In our Christian walk, to be able to bring glory to God, we need to remember back. And then in the middle of the chapter, he says, so knowing all this, in verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to live? And he answers the question, you ought to live holy and godly lives. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, a home of righteousness. Verse 14. So then, dear children, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. I have to ask myself, am I really looking forward that much? Three times consecutively, he says we're looking forward. And I think that's important. I remember one time in Tanzania, this was before we even started working at the orphanage, we would take vacation, try to get away. We were working at a Bible college, and you can't really just go to vacation right there. You have to leave. So we would once a year to make a trip to the coast and take our kids to the coast and swim in the ocean and all that fun stuff. And but in Tanzania, if you're going to go on a trip, your friends that know you're leaving come up and ask for a gift before you leave. Yeah, oh, it's just, so we would try to keep it a secret. You know, we'd tell our kids, look, don't tell people we're leaving next week. Don't. You know, and the people that are maybe not so friendly or against you or whatever, they're thinking, well, oh, there's a great opportunity. I'll steal all their fruit. So for both reasons, for our friends and even people that weren't our friends, we kept our travel plans a secret. And so we told our kids, okay, we're gonna go to the coast on such and such a date, and we're getting planning. And I remember coming back from working at the Bible college, coming up to our house, and there one of my daughters was skipping around the house with an inner tube around her inner bathing suit. And just skipping away, going, this is what I'm doing next week. And I was like, what are you doing? She said, Dad, I'm not telling anybody. I said, but that's what it's supposed to be like with our Christian walk. We are so excited. We are looking forward that without even speaking a word, our neighbors will know what we're doing. And they'll ask, they say, where is it? What is different? What do you have that I don't? We need to remember back that God, through his word, created this world, flooded it, and the same word sent his son Jesus. You'll start with John chapter 1, we'll be reading about that. And he lived on this earth, and he took our place. He didn't change the law, he fulfilled the law. And he redeemed us, and we have something to look forward to. And that is a warm and rich welcome into the kingdom. And then just skipping down to the last verse in his last letter to us in 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And we read this verse and we read it and we understand the forever. Oh yeah, bring him glory forever. That's great. But it says both, which means both things, both now and forever. And I'd like to just think about the word now. I think if we can be reminders and remember back and look forward, we can live a life that brings glory to God now and forever. And there's a lot packed in these verses, but that is my vision for my own life, that I would continue to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his grace, and that I can bring him glory now and forever. And that's our vision with Mavuno Village. And so thank you. Thank you again for your prayers. And if you'd like to know more, stop by and sign up for our prayer letters.
Thank you, Dan. As you can see behind me, we're going to bring our service to a close this morning by celebrating the Lord's Supper together. And so we're going to make a little transition right now. The Lord's Supper is an opportunity for believers to remember and reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's a time to thank and worship God for his incredible, gracious gift of salvation. It's a time to stand in awe of the love and the obedience of Jesus, giving his perfect, sinless life for us sinners. And so in a few minutes, our servers are going to pass out the elements of the Lord's Supper, and the bread, of course, directs our attention to the body of Jesus Christ hung on the cross for us. Like the Passover lamb of the Old Testament, Jesus' body was sacrificed in our place to cover our sins in the sight of a holy God. When we eat together, we remember and reflect on that sacrifice. The blood directs directs our attention to the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross for us. While the blood of bulls and goats, the Bible tells us, could not sufficiently cleanse us from sin, Jesus shed blood, perfect in every way, was sufficient as a once-for-all sacrifice for all who believe. And so when we drink together, we remember and reflect on that sacrifice. The Lord's Supper is a serious time, the Bible tells us as well. The Apostle Paul tells us this is not a time to be entered into lightly, but a time that requires self-examination, that leads to an understanding of the depth of our sin, number one, but also the riches of God's grace. And so at Lola Community Church, we practice an open communion. You don't have to be a member to participate with us. But we do believe that this time is only for believers. And so if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins and the promise of new life, we invite you to come to the table together with us. And so as the servers come forward, Jack's already up here to help me, we're going to pray for each of these elements. We'll pray for the bread, then we'll pass it out. Please hold it as you receive it, and then we'll read a passage of Scripture and eat together, and then we'll do the same for the cup. So, Jack, if you could come and pray for the bread this morning.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who was willing to let his body be broken. We thank you for the bread of life, the word, and how it touches our lives and encourages us, strengthens us. And we just praise you, Father. Use this time that we can remember the broken body of Christ, that he was willing to die on the cross for us and pay our penalty. We just praise you and ask these things in your name. Amen.
From 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's pray for the cup this morning. Heavenly Father, we again come before you in this time of reflection, this time of remembrance, this time of worship. And we thank you for the shed blood of your Son. That Jesus was willing to hang on that cross and allow his lifeblood to be poured out. And as you say in your word, you know, maybe there might be found some people that might choose to die for a good person. But we weren't good people. We might have had an illusion that we were good people, but we weren't. Not in your sight. Not compared to your holiness. And yet, Jesus' blood was poured out for us to cover our sins, to provide a covering for our sins, to provide a sufficient sacrifice for us. And so we gather here in awe of that sacrifice, in reflection, in worship, in remembrance. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Again in 1 Corinthians 11. In the same way, after he took the cup, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Servers, thank you guys very much. You may be seated. And as soon as they are seated, we will close our time in prayer and be dismissed. So just a reminder, Dan and Bethany have a display up there. There's some literature there, some stuff, information about Mavuno Village. You can sign up for their newsletter, all that stuff. So I know our entryway is such a wonderful place for a bottleneck, but we're totally okay with that. So feel free to stop in there, check some of that out, ask whatever questions you have of Dan and Bethany and all of that stuff. So let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to come into your house and worship. We thank you for the reminder that you are doing amazing things, transformative things, not only here in Lolo, Montana, but in places like Tanzania, Africa, and all over the world. We thank you that for Dan and Bethany and the vision that you have given them for these kids that are so needy and so in need, not only of, yes, food and shelter, but ultimately for you to enter their hearts. We thank you that they have a desire to see these young men and women, first of all, become followers of you, and then become citizens, good citizens of Tanzania. Lord, I pray that we too would have a desire to glorify you now and ultimately forever. Build that desire in us. Remind us of where we have been, what you have done, ultimately, yes, in your Son, Jesus Christ, but all of the different ways that you have provided. Remind us of your promises for the future and equip us to live in light of those things right here, right now, for your glory. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.